In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our gospel story details a passage that is familiar to all of us, of the lepers who cry out to be healed by God, God who hears their voice, and only one, a foreigner, returns to give thanks for the blessings that God has bestowed upon him. Of course, the story is told to make manifest the need to give thanks to God for the blessings that he bestows. But the particular fact that it is a Samaritan is the one who comes is also significant for us. This is one outside of the law, one who should not have understood the need to come back and give praise to God, one that certainly should not be an example for faithful Jews as to how to live in right relationship with God. And yet that is precisely the one who comes forward. As our Lord does throughout sacred scripture, he always reminds us of the universality of the message of mercy, compassion, forgiveness, and love that is indeed for everyone. And the ones oftentimes who seem to respond immediately and clearly without equivocation are those seemingly who should not be predisposed to do precisely that. The woman at the well with her seven husbands, a variety of Samaritans, both in parable and in truth, who make manifest the glory and the mercy of God. And meanwhile, those who should know better, those who ought to know better, those who know the law, preparing for the law, desiring the law, are the very ones who oftentimes fail to inhabit the law. The application to our lived experience is real and true and clear. Yet, lest there be any confusion, let's make it plain for everyone. We are not the Samaritans. Yes, we would like to think we are the ones who would return to God and kneel down and give thanks for the blessings that are bestowed upon us, but if we are honest with ourselves, and so I will be honest with myself, more often than not, my disposition is to simply accept blessing from God and to be on my way. This is, after all, what the nine did. They go to show themselves to the priest as was required by law. They find themselves immediately healed. And what is their disposition? To continue to go on, as if somehow they themselves were responsible for what it is that had happened to them, and not the power of God, who not only then heals them physically, but through that act of physical healing, restores them to right relationship in their community. We are not the foreigner. We are those who go about our merry way, taking and taking from God, asking only when it is convenient or necessary for us, and then when God, in his love and mercy, hears our plea and answers us for that, we do not return thanks to him. This is not easy to hear, and nor is it easy to say, but it is truth nonetheless. How do I know this? Precisely because of the ongoing proliferation of sin. Whether it be my own sins, the sins of our own community, which are confessed to me, or the manifest sins that exist in the world. Because if men and women were living rightly, if men and women were truly living with hearts full of gratitude for the manifold blessings that have been bestowed upon them, we would work assiduously to avoid sin in our lives. And the blessings that have been bestowed upon us, we would then in turn show to others as well. And that mercy and compassion and love that has been bestowed upon us, we would likewise show that mercy and compassion and love to others. But what is the world in which we live? It's a fractured and contentious and evil world. And that fractured nature, that contentiousness, that violence, that evil has literally seeped into the very foundation of Holy Mother Church herself. Saying that does not mean that we should despair. Saying that does not mean that God has abandoned us. For as he himself has made clear, the gates of hell will not prevail. But we do ourselves a disservice if we are not honest in what it is that we are confronting and what it is that we must do then to turn the tide of the world in which we live. And as it always has been, so it always will be, it begins with an intimate, personal relationship with the Lord. not akin to what Protestants say, do you know your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? And then they go about their business doing a variety of things they shouldn't be doing. No, this is a personal relationship with the living God that we encounter in this Eucharistic sacrifice. Our relationship with God is not one of myth, but because He is real and true, present to His body, blood, soul, and divinity, our response must likewise be real and true and concrete in our daily lives. And so as you go forth from this Holy Mass, this sacrifice, and those of you who present yourself for Holy Communion and then pledge yourself by that act of receiving to live rightly in the sight of the Lord, must ask yourself, what must I do differently throughout this coming week to put aside sin and then to live a life of virtue? Because the new law, brothers and sisters, not only consists in avoiding all those things that move me away from God, more importantly, in that movement away from the things that take me away from God, I'm then allowed to move closer to Him, to forge that intimate union and relationship with Him. What are your sins? And when was the last time that you confessed them? How frequently do you take advantage of the throne of mercy through the sacrament of reconciliation? Whether it be here at the oratory or wherever you may find a priest who will hear your confession and will grant you absolution. That too is not a rhetorical question, but one that I encourage you to ask and then answer. And if it has been some time, then go to confession. Ask God for His mercy. We know that He desires to give it to us precisely because the gift that He gave us on the cross, and that gift that continues to be made manifest to us in this Eucharistic sacrifice. But just as the lepers cried out, we too must cry out. And then, as the Samaritan makes clear, we must return to God and give thanks. Of course, the greatest act of thanksgiving is the one at which we are present at this moment now. This is always the best of ways to give thanks to God. Being present at Holy Mass, being conscious and deliberate in your presence at Holy Mass. But as we are then sent forth to live out that which you have been blessed to receive, day in and day out. I'm not asking you to change the world. God will do that. I am asking you to be transformed in your own life by the God's grace, which then becomes an intimate tool in the arsenal that God uses in the transformation of the world. It's not complicated, but it is difficult, and it requires something from you. And there will be a need always for some degree of sacrifice, changing yourself, putting aside your sinful ways, whatever they might be, kneeling down and asking for mercy. But then how does our gospel conclude? Not only the beautiful manifestation of God's glory by healing, but then He says to this foreigner, who would have welcomed these words and the power of them, arise and go thy way, for thy faith has saved you. This, brothers and sisters, is what we all desire to hear. That we indeed have been saved by God, by our acts of daily faith, day in and day out. It is a cooperation, not a quid pro quo, between the grace of God poured out upon us and our tending to our nature is such that that grace can truly bear fruit in our lives. But we must cry out to the Lord. We must ask for mercy and healing and forgiveness. And then when we receive it, because indeed we will, because of God's generosity, His love, and His mercy for us, to return and give thanks to Him and rejoice in Him. And so, praise the Lord, full-throatedly, with voices rising up to the heavens, for Him whom you are about to receive. And in that intimate union that is pledged through the Eucharistic sacrifice, commit yourself to give Him thanks and make that thanks manifest by the manner in which you live your daily lives. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.